time in prayer tonight, and I'd like to just make a few points about prayer and how the scripture says the effectual, fervent prayer. We could insert words other than prayer there and know it would be effectual, it would be fervent. Faith, for example, effectual and fervent, keeps you going, keeps you anchored, keeps you solid in the truth. Amen. Love, effectual and fervent love. That would fit very well because God is love. And love is seen throughout the scripture from the beginning to the end. Praise God. Action. Effectual, fervent action is a word that we can insert there and be accurate because of how necessary it is. But because prayer envelops all the above and anything below or around, we know that that's what James was wanting to focus on, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Now, the Amplified really does extend it and expand upon it in declaring the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. And we know that's true. We've seen it work in our lives. We've seen it happen in our church. Praise God. And we know the power of the Lord to be so real. Elijah and his challenge to the carnal people of God on Mount Carmel and to those who followed another deity, another idol. His challenge was, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. That was quite a challenge. But it wasn't something brand new to Elijah. He knew God could answer by fire. He knew that the Lord had done it several times before. And those prophets of Baal probably thought, yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can conjure up something. We can bring some means of a spark or a flame and convince the people that Baal is God. But I'm glad we can have confidence in the track record of God, if I can say it that way, and know that he will answer, he will provide, he will bless, he will bring forth. And after 63 words, that's how long his prayer was, 63 words, wherein he called upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he declared he had done all these things at thy word. He wanted the people to know and their hearts to be turned back. And the Lord answered by fire. Praise God. Now, multiple efforts were extended at this time and after. The 12 barrels of water, four of them, three times emptied upon the altar, but God answered by fire. The servant sent to look towards the sea seven times, and then the seventh time he came back and declared, there's a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And that was all Elijah needed. And he ran before the chariot. Unfortunately, the part of the scripture that James included, that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, was played out in the next few verses. Because Jezebel's threats were just as real as the answers that God had given. You would think a man who had had that kind of power, that kind of prayer, because he had prayed 3.5 years before that it not rain. And then he prayed again, and it rained. What would a wild woman like Jezebel have to do to scare him? But a man subject to like passions as we are. God understands us. God knows our weaknesses. God knows that we tremble. When we should really understand the demons tremble. But I thank God that we're able to look to him and rely upon him. So he ends up under the juniper tree. Other translations say it was a broom tree. Wouldn't it be great if we could just sweep all of our troubles away? We can just gather them up and put them in the dustpan and out they go. But It wasn't that easy. He was fleeing from Jezebel's threats, and he was depressed. He was discouraged. He was facing death, and so he fell asleep. Sometimes that's a good rest. That's a good retreat, just to rest. He woke up, and here was food on the fire, angel food cake. The Lord knows what we need. Amen. He rose and ate, and then he fell asleep again. And then the angel awakened him, and he rose and ate again. And then he traveled for 40 days, going from that place, Mount Carmel, to Mount Horeb. And his servant traveled with him. He stopped at a place, and then he went on another day into the wilderness. Now remember, Mount Horeb is where Moses saw the burning bush. That's where he heard the Lord declare, "I am that I am." But Elijah was still demonstrating that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. He ended up in a cave. And the Lord asked him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And of course, Elijah explained the circumstances as though the Lord didn't know what was going on, just like we do sometimes. But the Lord gave signs, great and powerful signs. The wind that tore rocks off the mountain. The earth shook and quaked. And I would imagine Elijah got a little nervous being in that cave. And then a fire, that fire that it must have been very convincing of the power of God. Sensational. Wow. Amazing. But it took the still small voice for him to be able to understand what God wanted, what God was directing him to do, and then unfolding the future as to kings, as to prophets, and the hand of God that was continuing to be displayed. It doesn't matter what the prayer is, long, short. I thought of Solomon dedicating the temple, the glory of the Lord filling the house, and Solomon's prayer for about 53 verses, 1 Kings 8 records, in which he assured the people of Israel, "There hath not failed one word of all his good promise." Praise God. And then 2 Chronicles 7 reports how fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Praise God. I'm so glad the Lord responds to prayer. I'm so thankful he has the answers. And even if he doesn't provide the answer in that moment, he still shows his power. He still shows his blessing. He still shows his presence. And then the Lord spoke, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." All four actions are very important. All four are necessary for the people of God to act upon. Humble themselves, pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. And then the Lord promises, "I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Oh, I'm thankful he forgives. I'm thankful he hears. I'm thankful he acts upon what he hears. Amen. Hallelujah. A long prayer, a short prayer. Peter watching the Lord walk on the water and declaring, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Was that a prayer? I suppose it could be. It was a request. And Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water. And then we know his prayer, short, three words. "Lord, save me." I'm thankful the Lord was able to take care of it. The Lord answers prayer in odd places. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. That's a pretty odd place to have a prayer meeting. But he said, "I cried." And then he said, "Cried I. Thou hast cast me into the deep. I am cast out of thy sight." He's saying all this to the Lord. "The weeds were wrapped about my head." Brother Steve liked to remind me of that and how that Jonah was in such a difficult place. He said the weeds were wrapped around his head. I guess because he spent a lot of time on the water. Just don't mention killer whales. But Jonah and repentance. "Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple." He had enough of the fish's belly. I will pay that I have vowed. And the fish vomited him out. What a sight that must have been. My goodness. What a place to answer prayer. But the Lord did. A fiery furnace, a lion's den, a Philippian jail, the Lord answered. Praise God. And I'm thankful he continues to answer. He continues to provide. Jehoshaphat was invited to go with Ahab to battle. And he didn't just want to align himself with the king of Israel. He wanted to hear from God. And, of course, you know the story of how it unfolded with all of the actions of those who did not want to hear from God. They had it all figured out on their own. And Micaiah came from the dungeon and pronounced what God said, and it happened. Ahab was killed. Jehoshaphat survived because he cried out, the Bible says, and the Lord helped him. Amen. Well, the enemy doesn't quit. Three armies came against Judah. They gathered themselves against Judah to annihilate them, to wipe them out, to wipe them off the face of the earth. But Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. They came to seek the Lord, the Bible says. And I like how this description includes everybody. All Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Praise God. And the king prayed. 2 Chronicles 20:12 is so significant of how the king would recognize we don't have an answer. We don't have a means. We don't have a way of coming against them. He prayed, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Praise God. I'm thankful that's where we can look. Not at the three armies. Not at the fact there's no answer. Not at the problem that we know we have no way of defeating them. But our eyes are upon thee. Praise God. That's where our focus needs to be. That's where we need to have confidence and recognize the power of God is going to be there. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. And he said, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That would have been a strange thing for them to consider had they not known God has answered before. God has provided before. God has ministered before. They may have thought that sounds strange. That doesn't sound like an answer. I'm not going to put my trust in that. But praise God, they knew that the Lord had provided many times before. Jehaziel went on to say, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. They believed God. They praised him. They went forth against the enemy. And God sent an ambush before them. And the enemy armies fought among themselves. And Judah stepped up to defeat them. Oh, thank God we know the power of the Lord to hear and answer. We know the power of God to minister and provide. We know the blessings that he would put forth. Praise God. Ezekiel saw six men come with their weapons. One with a rider's ink horn. He heard a voice tell the rider, go into the city and set a mark on those that sigh and cry because of the abominations of Israel. I know that we pray with confidence. I know that we pray with the understanding of the power of God. But there are times that we just weep. There are times that we just feel the burden. Times that we just know that God, without you, we cannot see any victory. And so a mark set upon those that were interceding. And then the men with weapons were told to slay those without the mark. This is in Ezekiel's vision. He said, slay the old and the young, slay the women and the children, and begin at my sanctuary. That sounds pretty harsh. But what it is doing is underscoring the fact there needs to be people who sigh and cry. There needs to be people who intercede. There needs to be people of those who will reach out for the hand of God to be displayed. And thank God the mark of intercession is possible for all, the old and the young, the men, the women, the children. Thank God that we can know what it means to intercede in the Spirit. Romans 8 contains the words, maketh intercession three times. Three times it's declared that intercession is made. Thank God the Spirit helps our infirmities. The Spirit makes groanings which cannot be uttered according to the will of God. And I thank the Lord He moves through us. I'm thankful He uses us. I'm thankful it happens to us as we understand the power of the Spirit of God to move and to work. Because we are laborers together with God. Amen. I believe that goes beyond just the idea of looking ahead to a harvest. I believe we're laborers together with God through prayer. Amen. We call upon Him. We believe His word. We claim His promises. We pray in His presence. Thank God. And His power and His goodness is there. Oh, I'm thankful He answers prayer. Now I'm going to pray. Brother Perkins is not well. He was going to pray this portion of the prayer. But I want us to pray for North America. I want us to pray for global missions. I want us to pray the missionaries that are at home and across the oceans. I want us to pray for their families, to pray for their churches. Pray for the national workers that have been raised up and have sacrificed incredibly, and are still holding on to this truth and still believing God. There are trouble spots in the world like Ukraine and Nigeria and in the Middle East where our missionaries have to be undercover just about to be able to do the work. But we're going to believe God together. Amen. We're going to call upon the Lord together. Praise God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask